it comes. The app is open to furries. No! This is episode 2, season 1, with the Bitcoin furries.
I'm gonna tell you guys, this was one of the most epic episodes I was get to record so far in the history of this show, other than Fartface. And I can tell you, you guys gonna love it. So keep listening.
And here comes our first sponsor, BitPiggies.com. BitPiggies.com. You can buy those pretty pigs there on BitPiggies.com. Buy those pretty pigs. Each pig comes with a really nice open dime with each package, and you can get all those cute stickers everywhere. You can splash it all over your house, wherever else, and then keep stacking cents, put all those fiat money into it, and then whatever else you can squeeze into it, fiat, banknotes, checks, stocks, what else is there, security bonds, whatever, put it in there! So what are you waiting for? Go to BitPiggies.com and buy those pretty pigs right now!
And now time for a second sponsor, HODLWIRES. Are you looking for music for your podcast or whatever else? Some epic music created by professionals? Look no further. Go to Crypto Contagion. They create epic podcast music. They helped create my podcast music also, and we're gonna be sampling the music right now. So don't hesitate, contact him with Twitter DMs, and he'll be pretty happy to reply back and to check out all his music. So, but before we go on and sampling the music, I wanted to take a little bit of a minute here to talk about the theme of this show. I've been thinking about this ever since Fartface started, actually. But other than that, I've been having some soul-searching about it, and I actually came up with a really nice theme that I'm going to be commissioning also sometime later. So I thought about maybe this show could be really, really good in a sense of being in a really, really far away land in a tropical island where people go to rehab themselves and society and their own mind from this fiat world that they are in. So I thought about maybe this fireside chat could become one of those where we sit around the fire, a campfire, on a tropical island on a beach, where we play the banjo or whatever else. This will be the core theme of our podcast here. So thanks for listening and enjoy the music. After that, the podcast immediately starts after the disclaimer. This show is not a financial advice. Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies involve risks. Consult with a financial advisor before investing.
Else you're gonna get wrecked like all those shitcoiners!
Where are we going now? So welcome everybody, welcome to the Bitcoin Rehab Show. It's a real pleasure to have a bunch of furries here finally. First of all, in the Bitcoin history, probably a furry podcast episode. The kinda, about Bitcoin at least. So, welcome to my show. It's really great. Now, let's start with having a good bit of introduction, maybe, shall we? All right. So, guys, tell me a bit about yourself. How do you get into Bitcoin? Who you are? What do you do? And what else you can add to it? So, let's start with Chaz. No, I need to cut it out. Chap, hold on.
Oh.
So... Okay. Yeah, I was really like once in a while I wanted to get rich quick, and I was like searching for investment possibilities, and I was obviously into the stock market, and then I recognized, man, you have to outperform somehow inflation, and then you're already ahead of the curve. And then I stumbled upon Bitcoin, and it was like really blowing my mind, the concept. And I was like, oh, that's a game changer, like 4 years ago. And I was really falling into the rabbit hole quickly. And yeah, since that time on, I'm not anymore so much invested in the stock market, and I'm just following this crazy ride of the orange coin. Yeah.
Good. How about you, Chaz?
So I'm Chaz. Online, I also go under the, I guess, under the name of Scale Heat. in real life, I'm an IT contractor. I work on medical software that hospitals use. And I first got into Bitcoin really knowing nothing about it. My whole thing was FOMO, or fear of missing out. It was something that my buddies and I originally looked at all the way back in high school when we were seniors, or final year before college or university, I guess. And we kind of just played it off. We didn't look into it anymore. It was just kind of a thing. It wasn't until a couple of years ago that it was brought back up, really, to me by my buddies. And naturally, in fear of missing out, I just bought it without knowing anything about it. It's kind of how I got my start with Bitcoin. And now, after doing a little bit more research into it, I now actually believe in it. Whereas before, I was just buying it since, you know, it was a get-rich-quick kind of a thing.
Was it me who red-pilled you into it?
No. It was back in 2017, 2018. My buddies brought it back up. And I remember to this day, I was in a Planet Fitness, just a gym. And I had finally gotten approved to trade or buy through Coinbase, because I obviously had no idea what I was doing and I was a giant noob. And I bought my first Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum sitting at the counter in a Planet Fitness. Right after my workout.
Wow. Okay.
Connected to the Wi-Fi of the fitness studio.
Oh yeah. Right off my phone on the Planet Fitness free public Wi-Fi, and bought through Coinbase. Yeah. And then I didn't even have a wallet. I didn't even know what it was. I'm just like, I need this now, and I proceeded to buy with my credit card. It was great. Yep. And then I've been hooked since. I made a little bit of money with one of the first Litecoin pumps, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm a genius. I naturally know, but that's how I got my start.
Okay, all right. What about you, Video?
All right, hi. My name's Video. I'm just a generic software guy, and I got my start in this a few years ago. I've always known Bitcoin like to exist, but I only really got interested in it around when I started university. And I remember I was in class, and I was reading articles about it, and it was around the time when Litecoin got SegWit, and this is when I was actually starting to read into like the technology behind it. And on that very day, I went into town, and they had these here in the UK, we have this kind of used technology store chain called CEX, or it's pronounced sex sometimes. And they have ATMs for Bitcoin in those places. And so I got my first Bitcoin by going in person and putting physical cash in a box.
Cool.
Which was like super cool. It was like some weird generic wallet I downloaded on my phone. I don't think it was a very good one, but that's how I got my first coins, was it was all because of Litecoin as well. So it's sort of similar to your story, Chaz, in that regard. But I've basically been, as time goes on, I've become much more interested behind the technology of it and less really around the price. I've written my own wallets before on for Lightning and on chain. And I'm also the runner. I run the Nakamoto Quotes Twitter account, so if you follow that, I'm the guy who does that.
Oh yeah, that's cool. The Nakamoto Quotes bot, yeah, pretty cool.
But yeah, that's pretty much my story.
All right, how about you, Tanuki?
How about me? So first of all, I have to clarify, I'm a guy. So that was a clue. So I guess.
Biggest shock of the year.
So, but I also doxed myself now a little bit, but there it is. Yeah, I try to not dox myself further than that. Let's start a bit with my story into Bitcoin. So bought my first Bitcoin in February 2013. And I think shilled to me kind of by Max Kaiser via the Kaiser report. And I kind of jumped into it because I have a background in IT and economics. And I kind of felt like this is something that could take off. Yeah. So in a way, I was kind of in for the gains, bought a bunch of Bitcoin. And as a matter of fact, lost a lot of them in an exchange hack in 2014. You can guess shit. Where, if you know a little bit the Bitcoin history. And yeah, so I kind of learned that not your keys, not your coins. And well, since I lost quite a bit, still kept accumulating over the years. And for me, the technological aspect and really how transformative this technology is. Yeah, this is something where I really thought like, you know, I lost a lot, but at the other hand as well, you know, I never lost my faith in the technology, so to say. Yeah. And I'm really a guy who would take his Bitcoin to the grave, so to say. Yeah. So I would never sell, even if it's going to zero, which by the way, I don't think. Yeah. So kind of a maximalist and almost like a Bitcoin fundamentalist, I would say. So that describes a bit my history and where I'm standing.
That's cool. That's really cool. All these diverse stories here today. I really love
everybody,
it.
Everybody
is so cool.
Everybody is very technical, I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, no nurse or hairdresser. Everybody is like, I'm working like in like semiconductor industry, so sort of related to the whole business also. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So for me, it's financial services. In case I didn't mention it. So yep, coming from the fiat world, but nobody knows it where I'm working. So that's good.
It's not a full dox yet.
Oh. Not yet. Yeah.
I guess I'm the only quasi-sociologist here.
Yeah.
Apparently. So anyway, just to keep going on. So how do you guys see, like, why is Bitcoin better than fiat? Like, your own opinion about it.
So anyway, I guess, it was funny because my first Bitcoins I bought on a holiday trip in Florida, right? And I was like, okay, what do I do with it? Do I have to declare it at customs? I was like thinking about that. It was very, I mean, I was a total noob as well back in the days. And
you
then
smuggled
I was like,
it across
okay,
the border, really?
I was like, man, technically it's already in the country I'm going to return to, so I don't have to declare stuff, right? And then I was like it was like really mind-blowing because it's the money of the globe, you know? No government can control it. And at that point, it is like superior to anything we have ever seen. Like, it is like a massive force that nobody is going to be able to stop. And it is, in addition, very deflationary. So all of that combined makes it such an epic asset to accumulate. That, yeah, this was really the time when I was like, my mind was very blown a lot since the first time I bought it. Yeah.
Really cool. Like, really, this international currency that, like, the currency of the planet. Quite an exciting aspect. Like, you buy it and then it's not in any country, it's on the internet.
Yeah. It's sort of like it's the ability to be able to send it to anyone in the world without having to ask permission from anyone, really. Like, I've been paid by people across the globe that would have been impossible without it because of the countries they've stayed in and the sort of controls on outside transactions that are placed on, like, their banking systems. And so it's like a very, it's the uncensorability of it is, in my mind, the most interesting prospect of it is the fact that nobody's in control of it, and that you don't have to ask anyone to send the coins to anybody.
Yeah,
that's sort of the main reason that I'm very interested in it.
It's like super gold floating in an unstoppable PayPal, somebody said once.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could also say, in a way, it's the world's best saving technology. And perhaps it will really get money, or it's already getting money in a way that you can use it everywhere with the Lightning Network. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect as well, right? So for me at the moment, it's more the savings technology, but I think this is an aspect where it actually will involve into people's money, where really can buy your coffee, like Roger Ver is saying, yes, right? Yeah. I mean, he's very misguided, don't get me wrong, right? And I'm quoting him here, right?
Man,
but I think
so
we
bad.
Are going in the right direction with the right scaling solution, right? So I think this is where we will evolve into in future, yeah? But for me, it's mainly at the moment, really world's best saving technology. It has a supply cap and it's people's money, yeah? It's controlled by us, the users, yeah? We decide the consensus rules, yeah? And we decide not to change them, yeah? And this is the really important part here, yeah? That makes it so attractive to me.
Cool. How about you, Chad?
I'd echo pretty much what everybody else was saying. I like the idea of it. I like the idea that I can send it to somebody on the other side of the world, not have to worry about currency exchange. I could just
or
send
government.
It. Exactly. I like the idea that it has a hard cap. You can't just print more of it. You have to actually work for it. We were talking before the podcast started too. I like the proof of work concept. I like that it's encouraging competition among people. And obviously I like how everything is tracked and you need a validation in order to send it. I will admit I'm a noob. And from a noob perspective as me, that's kind of what's most attractive to me about it.
Where do you guys usually get Bitcoins right now, if you would want to buy one? Do you use ATMs, exchanges, KYC exchanges, or BISC, or anything like that? HODL, maybe?
I know...
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I think I'm the only one here from the US. At least here, in my experience, Coinbase, you're going to laugh at me, is kind of the entry-level one. We see advertisements on and on Twitter. A lot of my friends talk about it. Recently, I swapped over to Cash App if I am purchasing it myself.
Oh, Cash App.
But
cool.
As of late, just in the news, and I want to confirm, Walgreens, CVS, I believe Rite Aid. These are local pharmacies or chain pharmacies that are across the U.S. Apparently, they're getting Bitcoin ATMs as well. So soon you'll be able to go to an ATM. It'll be more standardized and popular, at least amongst the average, you know, American. So I would imagine seeing those in stores within the next couple months or couple years here.
Did you register with my small Bitcoin shilling?
Yes.
Yeah, I, after my initial kind of jump into it, I also opened a Coinbase account. You know, that is like the noob thing to do, I suppose. But, that was back in the day before it became this casino. And it had, I think, just Bitcoin and Ethereum. I think that was the only two. But currently, right now, I don't buy Bitcoin. I earn it. Currently, I've been paid some freelance work in Bitcoin, which I think it was like, that's like a cool experience, is like earning your Bitcoin rather than just buying it. But
I didn't have that experience also this month.
Yeah, it's like, because it really sells it for me when I just give an address and suddenly I look at my node and I've got a transaction waiting to confirm for it.
Really cool. How about you, Tanuki?
So I'm currently buying on KYC exchanges. And I mean, I've bought on quite a bit of exchanges over the past years, and I'm kind of a principled user, right? So if I see some major shitcoinery from some exchange, that causes me to close an account and go to the next one, yeah? So it's really, really hard based on how many exchanges I had an account in the past. But I don't want to dox my current exchange where I'm.
Okay, that's fine.
There. But it's an exchange in Europe, obviously, since I'm coming from, so that makes sense.
How about you, Champ?
Yeah, I also use KYC exchanges. Also, I tweet a lot about using HODL, but I actually never found the time to get into it. But I guess also the KYC exchanges, some of them have really low fees, which is probably the only excuse I have for still using them. I guess that's one reason to go for them. There is then another app that is relatively new from a Swiss company that has like 10 times as high fees as, for instance, Bitstamp, and that's like crazy. I mean, they're supposedly non KYC, but yeah, I would like to stay in a range like between 0.15 or 0.2%, and everything higher is a ripoff, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can agree with that.
Yeah, the ATM I used had some disgustingly high, like, I think it was like 4%.
it's just
robbery at that point, yeah.
That sounds low for an ATM, though, right?
All of the ATMs, they will kind of rob you on fees, but it's for the convenience of not having to KYC yourself.
And yeah, but doesn't have a camera. Amsterdam, I was, I think the limit was like 200 euros above you would have to KYC yourself. So, yeah. For small amounts, it's non-KYC, but as soon as we are talking real transactions, then
yeah,
you have to dox yourself.
Yeah. I think it's a good entry point for newbies, though.
Yeah, it's really tough at the moment to recommend you the perfect solution to someone. It's really tough for me. I mean, I would propose HODL, I guess, but
Yeah, all of it's sort of still in flux, the best way of getting it, really. Like, Cash App is pretty good, but it's only in the US, which sucks for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would send Noob to Bull Bitcoin if it wasn't just think. So I would wish to have such a one.
Oh, yeah. I love Bull Bitcoin.
For me, I found Cash App to be very convenient because I was already using it. It's similar to Venmo. We have Venmo here where you can send money. My friend group was already using it. So when Bitcoin became available on it was super convenient just to swap over and purchase.
I think that's like the very interesting thing about Cash App is because it already is like massively adopted in the US. So just turning that on has opened up the option to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, and what about the fees? Because
I don't know what Cash App's fees are. We do have
pretty low
App here, but it's like this very gimped one that nobody uses.
See if I can find it real quick. Actually, all I can say is it's better than Coinbase.
Which
is not hard. But let me. I can't remember what the fee is.
Delete Coinbase right now. You have a Coinbase account, go and delete it immediately. All those chain analysis they're doing is nuts.
I can't, man. All the memories are with
don't do that.
I'm with it.
I deleted my Coinbase account a while ago. I don't have one anymore.
Shit, me too.
You feel free when you don't have an account.
I
only have a couple KYC accounts here myself.
The KYC accounts I have are for like emergency use only right now. I don't really use them.
Like I never withdraw bitcoins through other KYC exchange. So I always use for example like non-KYC exchanges in order to be able to withdraw bitcoins if I need any kind of fiat.
Exactly. So you don't taint yourself.
It looks like it is. Is it really 1.75%? Cash App is charging 1.75% fee for Bitcoin transactions, whether buy or selling. Yeah, that's more than I thought it was. But
quite a lot, but
it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's the convenience, really, of it. That's what these fees are for.
Yeah. Plus, Check needs to like stay afloat as well, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying, Jack Dorsey, bring Bitcoin to the UK, please.
Yeah, I should try the EU also. So anyway, let's keep moving on. What kind of best practices would you guys say? How would you store your Bitcoin without doxing your actual technique?
Well, you see, like it's a very complex thing because you have to.
Scary for noobs if you look at it from this point.
It is scary for noobs, and it's mostly because like there isn't like one answer really. It all depends on what your fret model is. And then you say the word fret model and they start getting really scared.
Oops.
Yeah.
It's a scary word.
It is a very scary word. I don't really know what I would recommend. You could always recommend a hardware wallet. That's probably like the most noob friendly, but I think there's then like what hardware wallet do you use? And, you know, it's sort of, it's like a big line of questioning that you have to go through. But I think the best practice is literally, easiest thing to do, I guess, would just be to download, if you're using small amounts, it doesn't really matter that much. Is to just use like a really good mobile wallet to start off with, I think. I don't think there's any real use in splashing out in a hardware wallet if you're only going to have like $20 worth of Bitcoin on it, you know?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I fully agree. I think if you have bigger amounts, yeah, without doxing too much, of course, I think the best method, how in whichever way you store it, is to make it almost inaccessible to yourself. Yeah, so literally, if someone comes with a gun into your house for whatever reason, yeah, that you're not able to access it. Yeah. However, in that, you should definitely have a decoy stack. Yeah, so this is something I would say: if a really big amount, have a decoy stack. Yeah, and your real stack keeps inaccessible for yourself as possible. Yeah, so really don't have the keys in one place, lit it up half around the world. Yeah. By the way, this also helps a lot if you want to hodl. Yeah. So if you cannot sell easily because you cannot access it easily yourself, you're hodling very easily. So there's actually two pros.
Yeah, just store your keys in your hall vacation home across the world.
Yeah, I think what it would be, the time lock was discussed a lot, and I don't know where we stand here, if we already there, but a time lock would be something awesome, because like you have a vault, you cannot access it for the next, like, let's say 20 months, and that's it, right? So that would be a really cool thing to have.
I don't think there's any mainstream wallet that supports it currently, but yeah, you can lock your Bitcoin so that it's literally inaccessible until a certain point in time, which is good, which is also good for hodling, because, you know, you literally can't, even if you wanted to, the nodes just won't let you. That's a good piece of technology that's not really accessible to noobs right now, but maybe in the future lots of wallets will start to start to pop up.
If I remember right, the call card had an option on it to set a timer on it, and then it said like 7 days later.
I mean, yeah, you run the risk of like, I feel at some point in the future we're gonna have some story of someone typing in like an extra zero, and their Bitcoin is like locked for like 100 years or something.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
I feel like that's gonna be a story.
Oh my god! That would be a catastrophe for someone.
Yeah, that's so sad.
That's like a voting accident waiting to happen. Then you know, just need like figure out like a family plan, like have a family quickly, like get yourself a wife, and then you know quickly your inheritance plan for your children or something.
Yeah. You would have to accept that those are no longer your coins, and they're your kids or your grandkids, and you have to plan on that.
Just goes into the will immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as you type the zero, you know, hey, it was a good run.
Yeah. No.
But guys, this sounds a little bit like one of the big fears I have when I'm sending Bitcoin. Yeah, with some of the solutions, obviously you can set the network fee, how many sets you need for send by yourself, right? And I always have the fear that maybe I enter a zero too much, yeah, or I enter a ridiculously high amount. Back, yeah, and then maybe you're sending one Satoshi for a trillion Satoshi network fee, which would be ridiculous. Yeah, but this is some crazy fear I have. Yeah, that happens to me. So I think the fees.
Yeah, I think good wallets would stop you from doing that, because like, there's no tangible reason as to why you would be sending something for that high of a fee.
Oh, yeah.
But this was an issue on Ethereum. I don't know if you heard that story of the guy who ended up sending, like, he sent a transaction with like a fee of like $2 million.
That was recent.
I remember.
That was last month.
Yeah, it was a very recent story of someone doing that. So it is a problem, but good wallets would probably prevent you from doing that. I think there should be like a wallet should have like a soft cap on what it would allow you to send for a transaction fee, just for like a good user experience, so you don't end up sending all of your coins to the void.
Yeah, I think most of them have it still. The fear is there for whatever reason.
You know, the miner that gets that transaction will be very happy, I bet.
For sure, yeah.
That's actually a good question. What kind of fears do you have related to Bitcoin?
Well, for me, as a noob, and there's a reason why I didn't answer the last question, is because storing for me is the biggest fear. I just want to hold it. And I'll admit, I do have a hardware wallet, but at the same time, I almost don't trust it. I won't say I don't trust myself. I don't trust putting it all with the hardware wallet, hiding the keys.
I think it's healthy to think that, though. I think you should always be sort of like on your toes. Like, oh man, what if my coins disappear tomorrow? Like, I think that's a healthy thought because you'll always be one step ahead. Yeah. You know,
aside from going into my backyard and burying it, you know, 10 feet in dirt.
Yeah.
which you know may not be the worst idea.
It might not be. That could be a plausible thing to do for some people.
Because if somebody, you know, does come into your house and threatens you, what are you going to do? You're going to stand outside for a couple hours and dig up your and dig up your safe? No, it's not going to happen.
My fears, I think, are purely technical. I think it's like I have this fear that one day there's going to be some like bug that's like as bad as the Ethereum bug was. When they had to fork off and you had Ethereum Classic. I don't think it's a plausible fear. I don't see a possible way for it to happen, really. But it is like, I'm always like sweating at night, like, oh God, what if tomorrow there's just like some sort of network bug that just locks everyone's coin?
I do have another fear that I will mention, which is me showing how potentially just unfamiliar I am, the advancement of technology. And I remember a couple months ago, I think it's a couple months ago now, as soon as Google came out with, hey, yo, guys, we have quantum computing, even though if I remember correctly, they really didn't. I remember a drop because people were, oh my God, they have a way to break up the blockchain. They're gonna hack into my hardware wallet. They're yada, yada, yada. And people were freaking out. That's something that I'm worried about. Not maybe in a practical sense, but with how fast technology is, specifically computing technology, is advancing. Even looking back 5-10 years ago, just look at your phone, how far the phone has come in 5 years. I can see that becoming more of an issue.
I don't want to sound like Krugman when I say this, but I don't think it's like quantum computing is going to be like a huge thing for a very long time. Even with like recent developments in it, it seems like very in its infancy, and it's not like a magic spell that you can just cast on everything. You know, it's only useful in very specific cases. And I haven't really read too far into it, but in relation to Bitcoin, it won't affect everything in Bitcoin. But like I don't know, it isn't a fear that I would hold, I don't think. I have friends who know a lot more about quantum computing, and they don't seem too stressed about it.
Yeah, Giacomo Zucco had a good question about this. I mean, not question, answer about this when I was in Bratislava last year. It's like, it's just like a hype, you know? I mean, if we take a look at like how Bitcoin is going to be coming around, we can see that they're going to totally disrupt the entire industry there. Because, you know, everything in research kind of depends on government money. Even in universities that are doing quantum computing research, so we can kind of expect, you know, these universities kind of lose funding, and the more stuff they'll be put forward to other kind of researches. Probably that's how I kind of see it.
I think though you do have like people like Google who are independently funding these sort of things, and so I think that he was more talking about it in that regard. I'm actually not worried at all about universities. Breaking Bitcoin with the quantum computers like at all. That's not something, because I don't think an actual quantum computer would come from a university, really. I think it would be something like Google.
That makes me feel better as a layperson, since any of the articles that you read, it's, oh my God, it's so cryptic, or oh, it's the end of the world. Yeah, no, it makes people freak out.
Yeah, obviously. I think if it was to be any like a real threat, I don't think it would be too hard to mitigate it through. I haven't looked into this, but I think there are ways to mitigate it through soft forks. Which
yeah, exactly. The two biggest fears that we have been discussing is an epic Bitcoin bug, which is very unlikely, or a quantum computing like destroying the Bitcoin network, or being able to like transfer funds that are not yours. Both of them are the same thing, basically, an epic bug in the Bitcoin protocol. And if you've recognized something like that, there must be a soft fork saying, okay, people, as of block XYXY, we are freezing the blockchain, we are upgrading to a new protocol, and from that time on, we will be using the new protocol, and there is nothing anybody can do to prevent that.
Yeah, exactly.
If that is the consensus, then we are fine, right? I mean,
it's going to, forks have not had a good history in terms of how people handle those with all of the really stupid forks that I think we haven't mentioned yet. The Bitcoin Cash and all that nonsense.
Bitcoin Crash.
But Bitcoin Crash. I think this is a fear I have that's related to it, is that so even if something like this was to break, we can mitigate it, right? My fear is in regards to the Satoshi coins. Satoshi, whether or not he could be dead, right? We don't know. So he can't mitigate those, and I fear that those coins will just be looted at some point. That's a fear I have, and that will have a big effect on the price, I think.
I think not just the price, but also the confidence, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's well, the price, it's related to it. The price drop would be from a lack
of confidence. It's a reflection of it, yes, correct.
Yeah.
But I guess when that happens, the people are already like seeing so much the benefit of a global immutable payment network that there will be the demand will be there for Bitcoin to succeed regardless.
If it was to happen, it would be quite far down the line, I think.
Yeah.
So Video, you wanna talk a bit about your experience with the Nakamoto quotes bot?
Okay,
I know you told me some really cute, I mean cool ones.
It's like a very small thing, right? I was bored and I made this Twitter bot that would just tweet out Satoshi Nakamoto quotes, and because I wanted to learn how the Twitter API worked, and I wrote it in like one night and went to bed and forgot about it. I didn't advertise it, I didn't tweet about it, whatever. And like 4 months down the line, my phone is getting blasted. And it turns out it's got like 3,000 followers now. And I was like, wait, what? Why? and it turns out like lots of big accounts were retweeting it. I didn't even know. So now I have this responsibility of managing this thing. But I have some weird stories in regards to it.
Oh, do tell us, dude. Do tell.
All right. I'll have one of them. I don't think I've told you, was this one time it tweeted out a Satoshi quote that was related to like escrow accounts. It was like, it was about turning lead to gold. It was like turning gold to lead and back again. And that's in relation to like enforcing like a contract, right? But everyone seemed to assume that was like in relation to like a kill switch that Satoshi had put in Bitcoin. And I had journalists in my DMs asking me about it, and they were writing articles, like speculating if Satoshi had put a kill switch in Bitcoin. And it was just weird because, like, I'm as interested as I am, I'm quite disconnected from it. So to have like journalists in my DMs asking me about this stuff was very weird. I've been offered the guy who owns that scammy Twitter clone. Twitch, he like messaged me like, oh, do you want to put your bot on my site? And I didn't reply to him, but I really should have. I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. It's just like I get some people like in my, I get lots of people in my DMs over this bot, and I don't know why. Basically, is the question is the gist of it. I have no idea.
I do have an idea, though. You could actually make a bot on Twitch, and you call it Fake Toshik Waltz, and you put the Greg White post like,
and
in your whole country.
I don't even know how you would make a bot for that stupid site. I don't see how that would work. Their whole architecture is just stupid.
It's quite epic. Fucking Toshi quotes. Scam. Yeah,
so it was actually Kevin Pham was the first person to find my bot. That which is very weird to think about.
He doesn't have you blocked. That's surprising.
He has me blocked now, I think.
Okay.
This is back before he had a change of heart, so to speak.
Ah, okay.
But it was I just wrote this when I was bored, and now everyone follows it. And now I have this. It's like a. People are very like into it. People really care about this bot, and I'm like, okay. Okay,
you've created your own monster.
Yeah, exactly. There's one quote in the bot that was wrong. So like again, I didn't really pay much attention when I was making this bot. There's a quote that isn't from Satoshi in regards to aliens using Bitcoin, and I get people get really frustrated whenever it tweets that one out. Like they get like fuming at me. Like they're like, remove that quote, and I'm like, I don't really want to, just because it makes people so angry.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be really careful what you code. You could bring down the international monetary system.
Yeah, right? Exactly. How many people have seen my? It's the butterfly effect. How many people have seen my dumb Twitter bot and go on to buy Bitcoin, and then suddenly the whole economic system is torn down.
The butterfly effect.
So that's like my claim to fame in this community right now, is a dumb Twitter bot. I've done more things, but nothing that's I've been comfortable showing, I don't think. I made a Lightning wallet at one point. This was back when it first the technology was first kind of taken off, but I never got around to releasing it.
Yeah, what I find a little bit weird is that we are right now at the 8,000 euro range, right?
Yeah.
And a ton of people ask me where to buy Bitcoin, how to buy Bitcoin, what is Bitcoin? A ton of people that I know in person. And that is like, why are they asking me that now? Last time I got asked these questions was in the end of 2017, when we were at 16,000 euros. Then everybody wanted to buy Bitcoin, but now we're like in the sideways, you know, and everybody is so crazy on buying it. It's like something changed, and I'm actually a little bit concerned about that, right?
Maybe it does come from like FOMO, as a Chaz. That's the reason Chaz is here, you know. It's like,
yes, it is.
Yeah, exactly. I get the fear because my fear is always like someone comes to me for advice on this, and then they buy Bitcoin, and then it like crashes. That's my fear, because then it's like, don't come after me, please. But I've had similar experiences. When I was in college during this was like at the height of the Bitcoin price, back when, you know, it was almost near like 20k. My teachers were asking me about it. They were like, how do I buy?
I was scared.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. One of the teachers that I had was very cool about it and was very interested. And I ended up leaving him a Bitcoin book as like a parting gift when I went off to university afterwards. But I don't think it's that bad of a thing, as long as people go into it knowing the risks. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like anything else. It's like you telling somebody to invest in a stock. You
know, it could go
to zero tomorrow, and it's the same thing where...
Yeah, it's like, this is not financial advice. Please do not come to my house when you're bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, the upside
still
potential
gonna do it.
The upside potential is basically unlimited, and the downside potential is at the moment like 8,000 euros, so it's okay-ish, right? I was today tweeting like, let's say, okay, Bitcoin outperformed Amazon in the last 10 years, And if you would be buying a Bitcoin today, you would be early. If you buy Amazon today, you would be late. So I guess people really don't understand which kind of monster they are talking, or huge power is behind this technology. It's really we're at the top of the iceberg. The people haven't seen anything yet, I guess. Really,
Imagine thinking that the future world money has a lower valuation than a lot of the single companies in the stock market. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah? How can you even think that? Yeah, for me, it's unimaginable. Yeah, I mean, we must be going massively up. Yeah?
So, yeah.
And everybody who bought at 8,000 will be a genius in, like, let's say 5 years. I mean, I'm not saying in 2 years because I'm not like John McAfee, you know?
Dick on national TV.
But I think we will moon. And the question is only when, yeah? And of course, I mean, mooning is also a very subjective word. So, yeah. But I guess we're going up. Way
number goes up.
I remember when, sorry for interrupting, I said I still remember when I thought that 10K is the ultimate moon, right? And now my moon expectation has changed in the meantime, right? So it always goes up with the time.
Well, yeah, someone who bought at $1 and now it's, you know, like 10K, then that's mooning. But someone who bought buys in now, they're still waiting for that moon. So it is like relative to where you're at. But then even like people who bought in at one, they're probably now, they're getting impatient probably.
Yeah, the funny thing is also when you buy Bitcoin the first time, you're always buying at all-time high, regardless whether it is really the all-time high or not. But for yourself, it is the all-time high.
Yeah,
it's
incredibly
expensive and you think, oh my God, I'm like transferring money to some shady bank somewhere in Eastern Europe. And will I ever see that money? And then you look back like 4 years and you're like, oh my God, that was the best investment of my life, you know?
Like
so crazy that the cool. whole system
it's you're giving me flashbacks to wiring money to going to the bank, and I remember the teller looking at me like I was just fucking crazy. Like, hey, well, are you gonna do your job or what? Send my money.
Yeah.
Now, guys, every time I think, should I buy more or not? I always think about, I should have bought more 4 years ago, right? So this is the best motivation to keep on buying, yeah?
Because I
every time looking back, you wish that, yeah.
I like this when I was talking about how I always knew about Bitcoin, like this was back when Satoshi was still active. I almost mined some back then. I downloaded the software, but I couldn't get it to work. And so I was like, ah, screw it. And so, you know, it's like, that's the thing that keeps you up at night.
Oh, it's fuck. Like, oh,
this shit that could have been.
Oh.
But I don't think about it too much. But I imagine that's like the case for a lot of people. I think it would have been worse, right? I always rationalize it as I would have probably got a lot of coins from it, but I would 100%, I would have lost it. And that would have been worse, I think. I would not live that down.
And I think, you know, always the most important is stay humble. I mean, what do you do with like €1 billion or $1 billion?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, stay humble. And what I see a lot is that the people are like regretting not having a time machine and buying Bitcoin earlier. But there is such a thing, which is a crazy move to do. But when you're like really convinced that at the moment you're facing like a dip, one can take out the credit with a ridiculously low rate, stack sats, and then just wait and pay back the loan with some major plus. But this is, of course, a very risky business. However, it works quite well. I see a cheap Bitcoin and I recognize it. Many noobs don't recognize a cheap Bitcoin when they see them. Yeah? This is something you have to get experience. But you can actually do that. And it was working for me quite well. I was tweeting about once. Until now, I didn't regret a thing. Although we are in a sideways move, but I bought it like 6.5K euros. And that was super cheap in comparison to today. Yeah. But obviously, this is a stunt. You know, you have to be aware that this can really backfire.
It's a risk. It's a gamble. Yeah. I would, over the course of my like college and university, I sort of did that with my student loans. I would buy Bitcoin with my student loan and sort of hedge it against it. And it's it turned out to be a really, really good idea because the student loans here have ridiculous low interest rates. So I just I've already basically paid off all of my loans, which was and I made profit. You know, so that's it's pretty good.
And that can really, like, this is like a catalyst. Now, if the people start doing that, this is a catalyst of that can really bring the dollar and the euros into trouble. If they continue dropping the interest rates, I mean, if you have negative interest rates, that means that any hard assets, reasonable value will be infinite.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Absolutely. If you think about that, that's crazy.
But this is precisely where we are going at the moment, right? I mean, this is why they have the war on cash, right? And the whole coronavirus situation just helps you because it's like, oh, the paper money, it's not good, right? Because the coronavirus could be on it. I think we're really heading into a fully digital world. And as soon as you can no longer kind of take out your, I don't even want to say money, right? As long as you cannot take your fiat out of the ATM, when that happens finally, then they can go down with the interest rates. But this is then also the end game for Bitcoin, right? I mean, this will be the real last fight, where maybe some governments might try to stop us from buying Bitcoin. This is a bit of a fear I have, coming back to the fear topic, that once we really start to hurt them, that they might fight. But I think we will win.
I think, I think so. Europe is probably going to be the first to try and act on it. But I'm also, I have a suspicion that Trump will also act on it because he does not seem to, he's not a fan of Bitcoin, as he says on his Twitter.
He's also not a fan of COVID-19, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I think Europe is the first place that is really pushing towards negative interest rates, but I think America is like slowly behind it.
Yeah, there is always like a way around the whole business. You can, for instance, Europe, no problem. We have Switzerland directly in front of our door, and like there is always somebody who will give billionaires a refugee. Like a refuge. This is no problem. You vote with your feet I wouldn't really worry about that because people will, in the worst of all cases, vote with their feet.
So how do we see the printing of money right now? Is it good for Bitcoin or is it
how do we Bitcoin? How do we see the printing of money? We don't. We can't verify it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
True. It's true. How much is printed? fuck ton of money. But...
Where's your USD node verifying all of the supply?
Good point.
I mean, printer machine. You know, money machine go brr. You know, but
brr.
I don't know. Like. We're printing all this money to pay for COVID. So I feel, I don't think it's the catalyst really, but I think it's certainly going to accelerate things.
What I find very interesting is if you look at the stock market, the stocks go up. We don't know how many companies will be filed for bankruptcy in the end of the year. And the stock market goes up, it's like crazy. How is that possible? Right, we have the biggest crisis, economic crisis since ages, and all the stocks go up. That's only because of money printing. And why doesn't it help average Joe? It's simple, because the ones that get it first, the banks, will invest the money in the best way possible. And that's for them not like giving loans out to the average people, but to just buy stocks and bonds and whatnot. And that inflates the valuation of those stocks. And that's all. If you are able to invest in the stock market, you are a rich person in the United States, and then you will benefit from that. But if you're not, if you're trying to make the ends meet, you're in trouble, because then how can you benefit from the money printing? You have no chance, right? The only way that you can do is you use your cash apps, stack some sats, and that's basically it, right?
Stack some sats, guys.
I mean, it's a bit of a meme, right? But perhaps you could also turn the whole narrative around and say, maybe the stock market is not going up, but the fiat value is going down, as stupid as it sounds, right?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask Chaz a question. Have you got your Trump bucks? Is Chaz?
I did not. No.
You haven't got your Trump bucks?
I did not qualify for the Trump bucks.
Yeah, there you go.
I will leave it at that. Okay. I did not qualify for them, which is a blessing. Or a curse, depending on what you look at. My parents got their Trump bucks, for example.
Yes. We over here in the UK, we're getting a £10 voucher for fast food. That's what we're getting.
That's really
a £10 voucher. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. You guys have universal health care.
Spend it all at once.
I mean, it's a happy meal, so.
You play your cards right. That's two happy meals and a toy.
I think they limited the places that you can use it at as well. I don't even think you can use it in McDonald's. So that's the relief that we're getting. That's where the money printing is going to, apparently, is fast food.
Oh god.
Fast food with stimulus packages for McDonald's or Wendy's if you're in the US.
Yeah. I'm still wondering what it's gonna be like at the end of the year for taxes. That's a topic of conversation for the US people right now anyway. Since not everybody across the board received the Trump bucks.
Depending on
whether or not you got them or not, the income bracket, all that fun stuff. I have no clue how it's going to work.
I know people that qualified and they still haven't got it. But like, there's tons of dead people that are getting it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. Then it's just, there's just so many people. I'm even surprised how they got it off the ground. Just knowing everybody that qualified, it's way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But how did they actually identify people who qualify? By what social security number, tax ID, or what was the reason?
I believe it was based on the prior year's tax filing. So depending on what you filed, I believe it was on your gross income. Depending on what you filed at the 2019.
I think you're right, because I remember it was like, the concern was that like, yeah, your tax filing last year could have been like, you don't need it, but now you're like, you could be homeless and in the dumps and you don't get it.
Right.
And then it could be, and vice versa, you know? So it's like, I remember that was the concern, was that it doesn't really reflect where people are right now.
Yeah. I am not knowledgeable at all, even though I live here. So I just go along with it most of the time.
So how do you guys see the world? Is the world going to shits now?
Sorta.
Yeah. It's really scary.
Well, where I'm at, things are going okay right now, I suppose.
In the UK?
America, not so much with COVID.
No, I don't watch news anymore, really. I mean, this gives me the shivers.
Well, here in Scotland, COVID is pretty much almost over, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends in Florida, and that's super scary. I mean,
oh yeah, they're just skyrocketing off. I don't know how they're gonna stop that.
Yeah, but this is a tricky topic because of obvious reasons, right? Some people think it's made up. I don't believe that. Too many people have died for that. But well, it's like, yeah, it's tough to argue. It's tough to argue.
Y'all are so cryptic. Damn. No, maybe this is, you know, me just being naive. It's the same as it's always been. That's my hot take of the hour. It's, you know, the stupid shit has always been there. It's just more exposed. Everybody has Twitter. Everybody can post. Everybody can, you know, show their tits, get 10,000 followers on Twitter, and then start posting random garbage. It's the same thing, you know.
Posted my tits, I wouldn't get 10,000 followers.
Yeah,
try it out.
Give me this. It's just the next thing. And even as of what? This week, or at least our government anyway, is apparently coming out saying that they are in possession of otherworldly vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at this point, it's just one thing after another, and I'm just numb to it. Everyday life hasn't changed for me, aside from the medical things that have obviously gone on with COVID and the policy changes. But aside from that, it's just living.
That's what you got to do. You just got to live.
I can give you some hot takes on COVID, though, because I do work in the medical field and see it.
Do tell.
Oh, boy.
That's I don't know if that's a good idea at the moment.
Maybe next episode.
So, that'll be the next conversation, I guess.
Yeah. What I have to... There is also some decent advantages to COVID. I mean, obviously, it's a horrible thing to happen and whatnot, but I have a lot of time, and I really started working out and going to run, doing sport, and I really feel that I have much more time for myself, like reflecting and like focusing on the important things. So home office is not such a bad thing to happen. I mean, obviously, whatever happens in the other countries, like in Italy, what happened in Italy and what happened happens in Brazil and whatnot, is really horrible. But if you have a sensible employer, then yeah, you can live a good life, right?
Yeah. For me, not much has relatively changed over the course of it. I'm just being a little hermit in my house. I see, the thing is, this is the sucky thing, is I do freelance work, which doesn't really, I can't get furloughed for freelance work. I can't claim benefits on that. But I get what you mean, in that like I feel like a lot of people take this as an opportunity to sort of reflect on themselves and see what they really want to do and kind of improve themselves, like working out, as you said.
Yeah,
that's really important.
I wish I could say that I've been working out. I haven't.
Download the Freeletic app and do a few push-ups. You will be impressed how fast you will be fucked up. Like in half an hour, you're done.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You guys are lucky. I still can't go to the gym. It's been March, or since March, I haven't been able to go to the gym, since my state isn't allowing them to open back up anymore. Not yet.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if the gyms here are allowed to open or not. But McDonald's is. McDonald's is open.
No, McDonald's will be open. Love McDonald's. I need it.
That's the most important thing. So in my country, after the lockdown, there were really long lines in front of the drive-in, so much that even whole roads were blocked there. So that was quite God. Insane. Okay, yeah. See where the priority of most people are, right? So yeah,
that's where our McDonald's were on the first day of opening, was just long lines with like people had to direct traffic into McDonald's. So because they were only doing drive-through to begin with, you couldn't go in.
Okay,
so I've been having a really pressing question. We wanted to ask from Tanuki, why are you a furry?
Well, that's a bit of a longer story, but I try to make it as short as possible. Yeah. So since a lot of years, I have a love for Japan, the country. It's there. And when you actually go to Japan, not sure if you guys have been there, but you see a lot of tanuki statues in front of restaurants. Yeah, and I always found them incredibly cute. Yeah, that's why in the end I decided to get tanuki. So it's kind of my connection to Japan, and that I found tanuki statues very cute. That's it.
That's very simple,
right?
That's literally basically how most people get their fursona. Like, for real, it's like, oh, I really like that animal and I have memories of it.
Yeah, and I'm actually a honey badger, but Caro always calls me a bat, so I bet it is, I guess.
Banter. Right? I'm just like, looking at your... It's a bit confusing. I mean, it looks like a panther or a bat. Or I mean, previously it was a bat.
Like, let's settle on an animal, right?
Okay. So yeah, how do you guys see? Like, do you guys think that more furry is gonna start coming into Bitcoin?
I've been thinking about this a lot. I think it has a use case in the community, but it's not gonna happen for a while, because it's mostly, as it was talked about earlier, it's mostly a savings thing right now. But in the future, furries have a lot of issues with payment providers like PayPal. Who are just not a fan of the stuff we do. So having some sort of payment option that is uncensorable, I think would be quite good for furries. So I think it's really an inevitability, but also it's going to take a while.
Yeah,
because, sure. I think shitcoins have definitely extended that duration. People look at these coins. They to a lot of people, Bitcoin and Ripple are the same thing, basically. So,
oh my god,
it's
send
all
them about, to me, please.
It's all about having to. People are going to have to learn that no, that's not the case. These things are not the same. Before, furries are a very technical community, and also they're not. Like artists who would be the main users of these things, are not very technical, I've found. So they're like the biggest noobs alive that we have to teach how to use this stuff.
I would say they're computer UI savvy, yeah. I guess. Where they're very knowledgeable with things like Photoshop or any of the Adobe programs, because that's where they make their living.
Yeah, obviously.
I would agree with you. I think the furry community as a whole would be one of the prime places, and this is a hot take, would be one of the prime places to swap to Bitcoin. Even outside of conventions. If if you have gone to a convention, you go to the dealer's den, you go to the artist's alley, whatever the hell they call it. It's especially in a different country, as I did earlier in this year, it's very hard to purchase something. Since some people only do cash, they only do the local currency, you can't exchange it there. Some people do something like Square. If it's in the US, you can just swipe your credit card for a payment, or if you have PayPal hooked up, you can send PayPal. It's not easy. And even then, if you do PayPal, you have to convert it if you're in another country. If it was something like Bitcoin, where they could show up, flash it, exchange it, and pay for whatever work they needed without any need of exchange, without any need of processing or anything, I think it would be very easy to adopt. And
definitely,
with furries, I from my experience, none of them have as much money as they're actually paying for commissions with. maybe not none of them, that's a gross exaggeration, but it's the type of group that'll pay $300 for a picture and then complain the next week on Twitter that, like, hey, I don't have any food. Yeah. All right, I can't put gas in my car, right? that's what we're dealing with. And
I'm relatively new to buying art, but from what I can see is it used to be the standard was to use PayPal, but I've seen lots and lots of artists start to use Cash App, which has been like a very big thing in my head. I was like, right, as soon as Cash App turns into a proper Bitcoin wallet, we're golden. I genuinely think that. I think that would be quite good for adoption in this community, is if everyone starts using Cash App and then Cash App starts acting like an actual wallet. Then people can be like, oh, what's this thing? I might as well accept this because I can convert it or whatever. But then some people might choose to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And so Cash App, how does it work with Cash App? If it's not a wallet, how do you start Bitcoin?
I haven't used it because I'm not in America, but from what I can tell is you can buy it, store it, and withdraw it, and I think that's it. I don't think you can send Bitcoins to it. I might be wrong.
Okay.
I think you cannot. You cannot.
You can send it, but you can withdraw.
I think you can only withdraw.
Yeah, you can only withdraw. Yeah. But kind of funny about, if they're going to start accepting, deposits, Bitcoin deposits. That would be pretty cool. Especially now, in the US, the law, there was a regulatory suggestion about, US banks can, US national banks can store or custody cryptocurrencies now.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
I think, Jack Dorsey said that it's not a matter of if, but when Cash App starts accepting Lightning payments. So
cool.
I think it's definitely going to be a thing in the future where Cash App will be like an actual Bitcoin wallet at some point, which again I think for furries some artists will just look at that and be like, I have no idea what this thing is, but I might as well accept it because it's there.
Whether they will spend it is another thing.
I mean, they might instantly convert it, but it's going to, it'll help it snowball a little, I think.
Yeah,
right. I mean, you've got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
That's why usually I also, I don't care so much if a complete noob maybe uses some custodial solution, right? Because really everyone got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then by the time you learn about the unique properties about of Bitcoin, yeah, and how you store them and about the decentralization part, yeah. So really I would never take on a noob, so to say, yeah, who starts say on Coinbase and even keeps their coin there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all I would do, I would not hate on them, right? But the important part for us as community is that we educate, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
The sweetest thing happened to me last week. Like a manager of a large company was actually grateful for me to recommend him the Ledger hardware wallet. Oh. And I was like, oh man, you're welcome.
I actually had... someone in my college class, their dad asked me for advice. I didn't even know who they were. They were just like, you know, your friend knows Bitcoin. Can you ask him shit? And I had to write this big document about what and what not to do. So it is, we have to educate people. That's all we can really do right now.
Education. Hey,
forward me that document. I need it.
I handwritten it because I didn't.
Oh,
didn't, I,
okay.
Yeah, I, oh. So it was like really ghetto. I don't know. It wasn't like super in depth. It was mostly just like, yeah, if it dips, don't sell immediately.
Yeah.
It'll probably come back up.
HODL it.
Yeah, exactly. Just HODL.
I guess that's in the end that's what it matters, HODLing Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
I do want a future where I can buy my furry art with Bitcoin.
Oh,
I
yeah, definitely.
That would be cool.
Me too.
You guys, we all gonna get that. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. I'm that convinced. Yeah.
It will happen. I've been pushing it on for Affinity for a while now, and I kind of been just looking into it. But the response never been that great.
Yeah,
hopefully they change in the future.
Sadly, the only... other than the people here, the only other... furry Bitcoiner I know is sadly a certain Daniel Kralas, or how you pronounce his name. Which he was like a big pusher of it before all of this nonsense. I don't even think he posts on Furry Affinity anymore. But it's like very
sad. He doesn't. Okay. So I think we reached the end of the show. Any last words?
Stack sets. Yes, stack sets.
And stay humble.
Yes.
You, Chad?
Ooh.
Everybody, okay, let's start from again. Last words. What about you, Chad?
The pressure.
Okay.
Stack sets and stay humble.
Yes. Okay. What he said.
Keep on stacking sets and HODL it.
How about you, Video?
Yeah. Keep stacking sats and don't be an idiot.
And I have the best one. Take the fucking orange pill and swallow it. That's probably how we're going to end it. So thank you very much for coming. I really enjoyed your company. This is probably one of the most epic episodes so far. And I'm really glad you came along. So thank you.
What's the pleasure?
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, you too. Thanks a
lot
for coming.
Bye.
So that was it for today. I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode as much as I did talking to these guys. They're really fucking cool. So yeah, next week we will see who will be the next guest. So until then, keep taking the orange pill. Take the orange pill. See you guys next time.